welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm on location on a little college visit with my daughter, and Laura Britt, you'll be doing this in what, about 15 years?
Yeah, I've got a little while. Don't plan this too far in advance. We were just talking college prices and I'm already terrified. Yeah. So I think I want to wait.
You don't want to wait too long. You got to start planning in advance.
Oh, we're planners. We've got 529s already for all the kids. So I'm a planner.
Yeah. So you just need that thing to accumulate.
This is so cool though. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see it. If you're listening on the podcast, you can't, but there's a record player in the place that you're staying. I've never seen that in a hotel before.
Yeah, no, it is pretty cool. A record player, and they have a large catalog of vinyl downstairs in the lobby. Let me just reach over here.
Have you fired that thing up yet?
How about this? Harry Belafonte. So that's what I'm going with.
That's what you've been listening to?
I think it makes me feel more distinguished if I have that. I also picked up AC/DC. So I got all my bases covered.
Just a really wide range of things here. The 49ers have had a lot of wide range of things going on.
Gosh,
as
I was going to say that. I was going to say that they're having their bases covered too.
We are killing it with the transitions lately.
Yes. So the 49ers, obviously, we did that emergency podcast on Friday. Laura did the sound effects and had some accompanying of vocals from her son, her daughter, both sons.
You got to start them young. No, it was just my older son, Marshall.
Yeah.
And then Britt didn't want to have anything to do with the tomfoolery.
Yeah. I can see.
Understandable.
That. Understandable. Yeah. So the 49ers obviously made the big trade that nobody saw coming. They trade up to number 3 with the Miami Dolphins. They trade away, of course, the number 12 overall pick, first round picks in 2022 and 2023, as well as a third round pick, the comp pick that they're getting for the losses of Robert Saleh and Martin Mayhew. That's a third round pick next year that they're trading. So Laura, remember that big podcast that we had planned to talk about the cornerbacks that the 49ers could take at number 12?
Yeah,
you can erase that one.
So that's why you write in pencil always and not in Sharpie.
Yeah. So instead of talking cornerbacks, we're going to be talking quarterbacks.
And we went way over. We haven't brought this up in a while. I was so off on our quarterback podcast, and you were so right. And I feel like that needs to be said because I don't say it enough, Maiocco. You're just not right enough, you know? So right
what
now.
What was I right about?
When we were doing our over-under on quarterback discussion,
oh yes,
you were trying to make it like way 10, and I was like, let's say 6 or 7.
I think I might have even said, how many podcasts are we going to be doing? That's how many we'll be talking about the quarterbacks.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that. So yes. I was wrong. That's all I'm trying to say here.
Right. Hold on. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Laura?
Yeah, you're going to have to – I'm not going to say it again. I'll get Brandon. Wait, if you want say? That repeated, he can just cut it and
what
edit
was that?
It back in.
What was that? You were what? You were
– You're right. You're very right.
Oh, you know what? That's almost as good as hearing you say that you were wrong.
But not quite.
But not quite.
So let's start. I've been trying to – I feel like people since this trade on Friday are trying to sift through – what's going on? I'm hearing all kinds of different things. I'm hearing that potentially maybe they don't have just one person that they're looking at, which is really surprising to me. And I imagine to other people too, when you look at the haul that they had to give up to be able to move up to this number 3 overall selection. I would think if I'm in those shoes that I would want to know exactly who I'm taking. I have all the confidence in the world in this quarterback, and they're going to be our quarterback for the future. But I'm hearing that they like a few people, and that it could be a few different guys. And that just is confusing to me. Can you help me sift through this?
I'm not sure I can. Other than this, who's to say that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson for sure will be the first two quarterbacks taken, or the first two players taken in this draft? You think so? What's also to say that the 49ers now at number 3 can't move up to number 2. Who's to say, right?
But so, do you want to go two? If you're at three, wouldn't you go one? You don't want to go two.
Well, I think Zach Wilson is so good. And I think that he would be the guy that the 49ers would target if they were going to move up. So, you know, and I guess Trevor Lawrence, if that's the case, if they somehow moved up to two, then Trevor Lawrence would be the consolation prize if the Jaguars, for whatever reason, went with Zach Wilson instead of Trevor Lawrence. But I guess my thing is, we've already been surprised that the 49ers have moved up this far to number three overall. So I don't think we should be shocked if they moved up another spot. And I'm not saying that they will, or that even there's any buzz of them doing that. But I also think that, you know, they probably have a pretty good idea of what the Jets are going to be doing at number two. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh, they're very close. Mike LaFleur, of course, is the offensive coordinator of the Jets. You know, the entire 49ers organization, you know, is close with Robert Saleh. So we'll see where this goes, but I just don't know that, you know, what I heard on Friday was that the 49ers, you know, are basically down to three quarterbacks: Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. But I would almost say, well, what about Zach Wilson too? Why can't they be down to four quarterbacks and see if something like that were to happen? But yeah, to your point, Laura, the kind of the scuttlebutt is that the 49ers like all three of those quarterbacks, and now it's a matter of just kind of pinpointing the one that they want. I find that a little bit hard to believe. I think there's got to be one above,
it stands out above the rest.
It's got to be, right? I mean, I just don't see how they. I would think that if you're going to move to three, there's got to be one guy in particular of those three quarterbacks that we mentioned that the 49ers would like. So,
and maybe the Dolphins were the only team willing to trade, because I'm thinking, if you have multiple quarterbacks, why not trade to five and not have to give up as much, or a different spot? We don't know the behind the scenes on the discussions that are going on. Maybe the Dolphins were the only ones willing to engage in discussion about that.
Yeah, perhaps that is the case. And what kind of the reason I want to kind of bring Zach Wilson into the equation is because he's the one quarterback of the quarterbacks that we're going to be talking about who gives you the best of both worlds. You know, he is very athletic. He can run around, throw the ball very well. I mean, he's athletic, and he has great pocket presence and throws the football. So that's kind of the best thing for the 49ers, kind of that best of both worlds scenario. Because, you know, I think, you know, what Kyle Shanahan wants is a quarterback who isn't going to just run to run. You know, Kyle has a lot of confidence in his ability to scheme up an offense. And so he wants a quarterback who's going to be in the pocket and make plays on schedule, make the throw that Kyle told him throughout the week that he wants made against this defense. This guy's going to be open. You got to anticipate it, and you got to let it fly. He doesn't want somebody who's going to
go off script too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to me, Zach Wilson's a guy that can do both of those. He can make the plays in the pocket, and then if protection breaks down, instead of just throwing it away and moving on to the next down, he can keep things alive like Aaron Rodgers can, like Patrick Mahomes can, like Josh Allen can, and still, you know, make plays with either his legs running or buying time and throwing the ball down the field.
But realistically, isn't it widely expected that the Jets would be taking him?
It is.
So then you're down to Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. And that's where the confusion kind of sets in for me, because it does seem that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are in a different tier. So you've got tiers of players that you're evaluating, and it does seem that they're tier one, and then you knock down to tier two for these other quarterbacks that are available. I am no quarterback evaluator extraordinaire.
Really? I did not know that.
And I'm sure the 49ers have plenty of people that are, including Kyle Shanahan. So I'm not saying that they don't know what they're doing, But it does, when so many people speculate and all we have to go on is their college play, we don't have the sit down interviews that they've had or the Zoom interviews and all these other meetings that they get to the chance to talk to these guys and know them. And have they done the Wunderlich test this year? Because don't they normally do that at the combine? And they didn't have the combine this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the whole Wunderlich situation is. But no, the 49ers will get an opportunity to talk to these guys. On Friday, I put out a poll, Twitter poll, and asked, here's how I worded the question. Assuming Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson go 1-2, the 49ers should select blank with the number 3 overall pick. It was a rust runaway. And now I
really noticed, I haven't seen the results.
Yeah, and unfortunately I'm just now noticing that I misspelled Justin Fields' name. His name is Justin Fields, not Justin Field. So I screwed that up. But anyway.
Way to go.
Yeah. So anyway, Justin Fields, 56% of the people said Justin Fields.
Wow.
23% said Mac Jones. 21% said Trey Lance, and 11,479 people voted in that poll. So here's the thing about Justin Fields. He can run. He is a great runner. He's got good size. He started more games, I think, than the other quarterbacks that we talked about. I think he started 22 games. And you're talking about Trey Lance, 17 starts, and Mac Jones only 13 starts. But there's just something. I think he's just very raw, and I'm not sold on him as a pocket passer who can make accurate throws on time. The anticipation. I'm just not sold on that. You know, some people would say, well, he's got such physical gifts. He throws, you know, he's got a great arm, all of that. You know, could Kyle Shanahan work with him and kind of mold him into the quarterback that he wants? So I think that's why people are so sold, or at least 56% of the people who responded are so sold on Justin Fields, is because they see just the physical gifts that he has and the running ability, unlike anyone out there, probably.
Yeah, but to your point, you don't necessarily want that in the Shanahan system. And so I wonder if that's what he's looking for. And another thing, when we're talking about these college quarterbacks, this dates back to last year when everything got shut down in the sports world and the college football season. Some teams didn't play. Some teams had these crazy short seasons. Some teams had longer seasons planned and then games get nixed the week of. That's my big concern if I'm an NFL team. And we've been talking about this for a year now. How do you evaluate players when you haven't even had the chance to see them play on the collegiate level for any extended amount of time? The book of information that you have on them is so small this year. And I think that's what makes this also shocking, is it seems like a less sure thing when you don't have a bigger picture to see what they were able to do in the collegiate level. And a lot of times that doesn't pan out anyway. We've talked about that a lot too on the podcast. You never know. I don't want to say it's a crapshoot, because there is talent evaluation in there, but you know, number one overall picks don't always pan out. First round picks don't always pan out. Sometimes fifth round picks, in the case of the 49ers, really pan out. There's so much uncertainty, and with the 2020 season due to COVID and in college being just a disaster, you don't have a lot of games, it leaves a lot more room for question.
Justin Fields, to me, he wasn't, and it wasn't, you know, yes, I mean, he had more starts than anybody else, but he didn't play a whole lot this last season because of all the reasons you mentioned. But he's not in an NFL type of system. I mean, it's a very college sort of system where it's basically, it seems like, just, you know, one read, get the ball out, or if he's not open, start running. And so to me, he's a very difficult guy to evaluate. And in fact, Gil Brandt, the Hall of Famer, you know, longtime Cowboys scout, who's very plugged into the NFL. I mean, he's just a very well-respected man. He said that the evaluations on Justin Fields are all over the place. And he said that some teams he's heard have him ranked as a top five prospect. And then this surprised me. He's also heard some teams have him ranked in the fourth round. So that tells you just how crazy the projections are. And what Gil Brandt speculated was that he doesn't think, you know, he said, my guess is the 49ers aren't moving up to get him, but instead they're going after Trey Lance, or that's the guy. And so, Laura, 49ers Talk is brought to you by Planet Orange, effective eco-friendly pest control. So let's switch it to Trey Lance now. And to me, he's kind of like Justin Fields in the sense that, or maybe even less, you know, less experienced than Justin Fields. He only played one game this season because the North Dakota State Bison only played one game in the fall. And then he opted out. I think they're playing spring now, but he didn't want to play in the spring because it's going to impact draft status and all that. So he's a guy who, again, very, very skilled athlete. Last year, he had 1,100 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns rushing, and he was a 67% passer. He threw 28 touchdown passes, not one. So, in other words, zero interceptions.
Also known as zero.
It's zero. Yeah, zero. Two goose eggs or one goose egg, whatever. But, you know, there were a lot of games where he only played, you know, he didn't throw a whole lot. You know, games where he'd have 14 pass attempts or 18 pass attempts. So that's a really big projection, too. But again, I think with the fans, you know, going toward Justin Fields, I think a lot of fans would like to see the 49ers have this kind of quarterback, the new age type of quarterbacks who can make plays with his legs and his arm.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my story about the COVID season with Trey Lance only playing one game. We talk about Trent Williams. Can he come back? He's been in the NFL. He's already been there, done that, proven himself. He's out for a season, and people are worried about if he's even able to come back. Think about a college player, never stepped foot on an NFL field, misses basically the entire college season, not for any fault of his own, but because of COVID, and now he's going to go play in the NFL. I think that's an interesting thing to think about, is how we talk about NFL players that are already currently in the NFL. And I think there are other factors that go into that. He's already made a bunch of money. Is that too much to make him want to go back and risk it all on the football field? Is he complacent because he's got money? Those factors are also in there. And that's not the case for a college player going to the NFL. They still want to prove themselves and they want their payday. But that's something that was the first thing that came to mind when you think of Trey Lance and his college season being cut to just one game.
One of the things that I saw from Trey Lance when I watched some of his stuff is that, you know, I know how Kyle likes to see things that he's going to ask of the quarterback to do. And the way he runs the play action fake Trey Lance does, where he turns his back completely to the defense, you know, so that's an encouraging thing about Lance. You know, he's a team leader, all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure all these guys that we're going to be talking about are really upstanding guys and team captains and all of that. So yeah, there's a lot of intrigue with Trey Lance. And I've even heard people who've watched a lot of his film kind of already consider him one of the more intriguing prospects that they've, you know, ever evaluated, just because of, you know, the physical tools that we see, as well as the level of competition, which isn't bad, by the way. North Dakota State has always had some very good programs, but he really dominated on that level. And now you're taking, you know, he's stepping up a class, and we'll see where that is. But with so many of these guys, you get so many different opinions of, you know, is Trey Lance the number two overall pick? Is he a second rounder? You know, where is he? Yeah, and I think all these guys will be first round draft picks, pretty obviously. But but I do know the 49ers, you know, kind of consider him in that cluster of guys, or at least that's the word, that Trey Lance is one of these guys that they're spending a lot of time working on to kind of figure out and get a good handle on.
Yeah, and Mac Jones is in that discussion as well, out of Alabama. He's an interesting one because I feel like fans, when you ask them, I mean, clearly the poll speaks for itself. People aren't very high on him, and I have a philosophy. Obviously, I'm from Alabama. I have grown up around Alabama football, Auburn football, UAB football, go Blazers, my whole life. And my philosophy on when you look at Alabama quarterbacks, they don't pan out in the NFL. And that's where my questions come in about Mac Jones. And I was actually having a discussion with my husband about this the other night, just talking about why is that the case? When you look at the wide receivers that come out of Alabama, it's a long list of guys that are successful in the NFL. They've got great offensive line coverage for your quarterback. You've got great running backs. You've got a great defense. The team is stacked, is what I'm trying to say. So what happens is, and this is just my philosophy, I think these quarterbacks are set up to succeed in the Alabama system under Nick Saban, and they're talented in their own right, but the talent around them makes them look a lot better than they are. And that's what I think about why Alabama quarterbacks don't tend to pan out in the NFL. But we've seen that with Mississippi State. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks come out of Mississippi State, and then you have Dak Prescott. So there is that guy that can come along and succeed in the NFL. But when there's so much talent around you at the collegiate level and the type of system that Nick Saban runs, you can look really good in that position.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about Mac Jones after this break. And this word from Big O Tires.
At Big O, we're proud to call you neighbor. Get up to $150 in savings. Save up to $100 instantly on select tires. Plus, get $50 by mail-in rebate on purchases of $500 or more on your Big O credit card. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
All right, we're back on 49ers talk. We're talking about the quarterbacks that the team could take at the number 3 overall pick. And Laura was talking about Mac Jones and why quarterbacks from Alabama maybe don't succeed in the NFL. And yes, they are surrounded by a lot of talent, but I think Mac Jones is different. I think he's really good. And if you watch him, he's not going to bowl you over with, the athleticism. He doesn't run like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. So he's not that dual threat. And the fans, some of the stuff I saw on Twitter are fans like, oh my God, there's no way the 49ers could take him when you have all these other better athletes out there. But here's the thing. If Kyle Shanahan likes Mac Jones and sees him fitting into the system, then, don't you think that says something? And, we don't know who the 49ers are going to take at this point. We know that Kyle Shanahan worked with Justin Fields 4 years ago at the quarterback collective camps or clinics that they have. We know that, Trey Lance is a guy that is in that upper echelon of quarterbacks in college football. Mac Jones is somebody that I think is maybe more of an acquired taste because of the reasons you just outlined, that he does have tremendous talent around him generally. But, when you watch the highlights of Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, and Jaylen Waddle, who I was pitching last week for the 49ers to select at number 12, when you look at the highlights of those guys, I mean, they are catching the ball in stride from Mac Jones. I mean, he's not making them work to go get it. And Mac Jones isn't a running threat at all. But what he does is he moves very, very well in like that boxing ring area. He moves very quickly. He has great pocket presence. He steps up to avoid oncoming pass rushers. He slides one way, slides the next. He can throw from different angles. I think he's a really good quarterback. And I would think that if 49er fans, if 49er fans have confidence in Kyle Shanahan to pick the right guy and Kyle Shanahan picks Mac Jones, I think 49er fans should be fired up about that.
You know what's going to be really awkward is if they do pick him and then he's a guest on the podcast. Brandon, please don't replay this for me. If that happens, please. We'll delete this podcast.
I think you would have to just come straight out, Laura, and tell Mac that, you know what, I didn't want you to be picked by the
49ers. I didn't believe in you at all.
But here
you
are.
Because your predecessors had nothing to do with you, just your predecessors.
And here's the thing. Again, nobody knows what the 49ers are going to pick, except for probably the 49ers. And even they are saying they don't know yet. But Chris Sims, who is Kyle Shanahan's very good friend, he had Mac Jones, his number three quarterback, ranked as his number three quarterback in this draft. And he said that, you know, he's definitely a top 10 pick. And for fans to say, why would the 49ers trade up to number three to pick Mac Jones? They could have had him at number 12. Folks, no, there's no way Mac Jones would have been there at number 12.
That's too big of a risk, too. If you know you want to get a quarterback, you can't risk that. And that makes sense. If they know that he's their guy, then you've got to move up. Because just for the same reasons we were talking about when before this trade happened, you could do a lot of different things because they have so many positions that are already solid that they could just add depth. But when you know you want a quarterback, you can't risk that at 12.
Yeah. So I'm leaning, and again, I'm guessing like everybody else, but I'm leaning toward Mac Jones being the guy because I just think he fits the pocket presence that Kyle Shanahan wants.
People take your word like the Bible. Matt.
You know, but that's my opinion. I'm not reporting it. That's my opinion. And I think Chris Sims has the same opinion. But Sage Rosenfels, who we had on the podcast a month or so back, who played for Kyle, you know what he says? He says San Francisco ain't drafting Mac Jones, period. That's what he tweeted. That's what he tweeted last week. So I bring in that kind of contradictory voice because it is all over the map on what people think the 49ers will do. And my opinion is only that it's an opinion. I think that of the three quarterbacks that we've talked about, the fourth being Zach Wilson, who I think that would be the guy the 49ers would take. But I just think that it's easier for me to project Mac Jones in the 49ers system than the other two. That's just my opinion.
I'm just really, to be honest, I'm uncertain. I don't know what, I feel like they're cooking something and might not be saying everything for obvious reasons. You can't let the other teams know what you've got up your sleeve. So I think that they've got something going on. There just seems to be so much uncertainty around all of this. Speaking of that Sage Rosenfels podcast that we had, if you haven't listened to it, I've had a lot of our listeners go back and re-listen to that podcast. And I think that's a great idea. If you never got the chance to hear it, go back and listen to it because he offers a lot of great insight into Kyle Shanahan and how he evaluates quarterbacks. And that would be really good insight to have right now. I might even after this go back and listen to it again before the draft.
There's one thing that I remember from that because I do think, and now it's pretty obvious, I think the 49ers like Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think they love Jimmy Garoppolo. That is obvious, right? That's obvious because they've said, you know, you're not going to be the quarterback of the future. You know, you might be the quarterback for 2021, but not beyond that. But the one thing that I've, you know, Kyle with his body language, I can tell that frustration, you know, when Jimmy misses something, he misses a throw or whatever, there's a frustration that Kyle Shanahan shows with his body language. And Sage Rosenfels explained that. And you know, it's basically you draw something up, you pound it into the quarterback that this is the scenario that's going to happen in the game. And when everything kind of lines up and there should be a big play there and the big play isn't made, that's where Kyle gets frustrated. And that's where I think Mac Jones, watching some of his stuff, I mean, he's really good about throwing the ball to a receiver who isn't open when the ball is thrown, but the ball finds him when he's open.
Which is what great quarterbacks do. And that's one thing, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because that's one of the big knocks that people have always had on Jimmy G, mm-hmm. is that he's a half second, a second late on his throws. Yeah. That the moment, the window was passed.
Right. No, and absolutely. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, because again, I don't think Kyle, you know, I would think, and I think a lot of people see the ability to run as kind of a bailout, like, you know, maybe the play isn't there. So instead of just throwing it away and going on to the next down, you know, some of these other quarterbacks that we've talked about, they can make something out of nothing. And I think Kyle is so confident in his own ability to scheme up an offense against a particular defense that he probably doesn't feel like he needs that. He wants guys who can make plays from the pocket, and he doesn't need or require that bailout of just of the guy tucking the ball under his arm and running with it. So that's again, just my opinion. I'm sure the first day of the draft, I'll be wrong with, along with a lot of other people, but that's just
me too.
Yeah. Well, you haven't.
We'll all go down on the ship together.
You won't be wrong because you haven't given an opinion on who they're taking.
I don't have one. I don't, okay. I feel like they're working something that we don't know about. So that's my opinion, is that they've got something up their sleeve that is yet to be seen.
Yeah. So what we do know though, is that with that trade on Friday, the 49ers have moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it's just a matter of when. Now the 49ers are also saying, hey, we expect Jimmy to be the quarterback in 2021. Things change. We'll see where this goes. But Laura, I did hear that Kyle reached out to Jimmy and had a talk with him on Friday. But the word is that Jimmy was very disappointed that the 49ers felt that they had to make that move, trading up from number 12 to number 3 to get the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, anybody would be. You're not a competitor at this level if you're not disappointed in that moment. And if you aren't disappointed in that moment, then you don't need to be in the NFL, you know, a quarterback for one of the NFL teams, the franchise quarterback for one of the NFL teams. So that's not surprising. And that's the human aspect of this that doesn't get talked about a lot. And people just, this guy's making all this money, go out and win games. You know, there are emotions and people involved in this. And I think that's good to keep in perspective. But it goes back to what I was saying on Friday before I knew that they had this discussion, is that's the type of people that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are, and the 49ers. And from every player that I've heard, they say they will tell it like it is. They don't lie to you. They don't tell you something. And then the next day you come in and you're hearing a completely different story, which is why these two specifically have so much respect from players, not just within their organization, but from around the NFL. You look at other organizations and that's not always the case.
So I know initially, and you know, we were talking about like changing our minds and you know, what the 49ers are going to do with this. I mean, initially, like in the first minutes after this trade, I was thinking, going back to the whole quarterback talk, I was thinking, could it be Mac Jones? No, wouldn't they want more? You know, wouldn't they want one of those other guys that can make plays? And so I've kind of come back around to what I think Kyle Shanahan values most. And whoever the quarterback is, it'll be interesting to see, assuming the 49ers don't get blown out of the water by a trade proposal that would be too good to pass up. And let's just say that Jimmy does stick around like the 49ers anticipate that he will. You know, how much practice reps do the 49ers give the rookie as opposed to Garoppolo, and do they make it, you know, do they have the door a little bit open for the new guy to step in and win the job? But from the 49ers standpoint, what they're really preaching to Garoppolo is, you know, this is still your team. You know, the 2021 season, it's still you, that you give us the best chance to win games this season. And what they've kind of set up as the template for this was with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Alex Smith had a pretty good season. And then the next year, the Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes at number 10 overall, and they traded up to get him. But Patrick Mahomes was the backup, learned behind Alex Smith for one full season. And then Alex had his career year. He had the best season of his career, and people were thinking, well, now the Chiefs can't move on from Alex Smith. You know, they can't start Mahomes over him. But what the Chiefs did was that they traded him to Washington, and then Washington gave Alex Smith a huge contract, 4-year extension, $94 million, And I think $55 million of that fully guaranteed. So the 49ers pitch to Jimmy Garoppolo is, you know, don't get down. You know, don't let this impact your play. You need
easy to say.
Very, very easy to say. And, you know, I don't know that Garoppolo, you know, Garoppolo is a backup to Tom Brady for 4 years, 3.5 years. I don't know how he would take on that role of helping mentor the young guy. I think he would. I think he would do a pretty good job of that. But that's what, you know, the 49ers are pitching to Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, the 49ers feel like they're set up, or they have the roster to win a Super Bowl. And if Garoppolo does that, or takes the 49ers deep or whatever, now he's really helped himself in wherever he ends up in the NFL.
That's my big question mark for this season. That's a really tough spot to be in. I hope he does that for himself and for the 49ers and for our listeners, for 49ers fans. I hope that he's able to do that. It's a lot to overcome mentally. That's a mental battle every day, not just when on game day. That's a mental battle at practice. That's a mental battle every time you're sitting there ushering this guy along. I think that he will, just like you said, he's a professional. That's everything we've heard about Jimmy G, is that he is a team player. And if this is his team in 2021, you have to imagine that he's going to be just that, what he's been since he's gotten here. But that is a really mentally tough spot to be in. And that's the confusing part to me also. I'm just really confused today. Confused about all kinds of things. And this is another one. When you have a team that's so close, that I don't think it's a long shot to say that they could go back to the Super Bowl this year. I don't think that that's crazy land. I think that's very realistic. And that's not just, oh, sometimes people say we just pump up the 49ers. I don't think Mayoko and I are those people. I think we try and be very realistic about where this team stands. And I don't think that that's crazy talk to say that the 49ers could go back to the Super Bowl this year. And if you have that type of team, and now the most important position on the field has this mental challenge that he's going to have every day. Yeah, I just, that could be a death trap for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy talk either, because I look at the NFC and I just think the 49ers are right there. I mean, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. They weren't the best team in the NFC throughout the season, but they got hot at the right time. They ran the table in the playoffs. I think the 49ers are set up. They're among probably a handful of teams or more that can enter this season thinking that they can win the NFC. So there's that. Another part about this, though, and I've said it repeatedly, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a bad quarterback. I don't think he's perfect. I don't think he's, you know, one of the elite quarterbacks, but I don't think he's a bad quarterback. And the 49ers have proven that they can win a lot of games with Garoppolo at the quarterback position. However, the first time we talk about the pressure on Garoppolo to perform, the first time the 49ers lose a game that they should have won, or Garoppolo doesn't play well, and maybe even the 49ers win the game, but it's in spite of Garoppolo, there's going to be a clamor. You know, as long as, you know, we're assuming now that Garoppolo will be, you know, with the team when the season starts. If that's the case, there will always be that kind of murmur behind him of the fan base wanting to see the rookie, whomever that is. They're going to want to see him perform well. And so if he doesn't, there's going to be an outcry for the 49ers to move on from Garoppolo and start the new era now.
I feel like the leash is going to be a little bit longer for Jimmy G. I don't think it's going to be the first.
But I'm talking about the fan base.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the fans are going to do that for sure. There's no doubt. I don't think the 49ers are going to be that quick to pull the plug on him when you've got this rookie that's learning the system. And what we were talking about, just hypothetical situations on, I think, the last edition of 49ers Talk, at the end of that podcast, we were talking about if they were to make the playoffs, do you then go with your rookie? And I don't think so. I think if Jimmy G gets you there, if he gets you to the playoffs, you ride with Jimmy G, you ride with a hot hand. So I now, if there are three losses in a row that you could pinpoint to Jimmy, yeah, I think at that point you make a change. But I don't think it's one. I don't think it's two necessarily.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on a lot of stuff that we won't see, right? It'll depend on how the new guy is adapting in the classroom as far as knowing the system. It'll be how he's looking in practice. All of that stuff will be taken into account. So, I don't think it's going to be just a formula of if they lose this kind of game and Garoppolo is, you know, under 60% on his pass. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything like that. It'll just have to be kind of a feel. But, you know, looking back at 2017, you know, Garoppolo showed up in the middle of the season, and the 49ers, it took about a month for them to get him up to speed to start games. Now, the rookie, and we saw rookies last year play pretty well. You know, Joe Burrow played pretty well when he was healthy, and then Justin Herbert played really well for the Chargers. But, you know, at least the youngster, whoever that is, will be with the team. You know, we'll be learning the offense from basically May all the way through. We don't know if there's going to be an off-season program. That would certainly help for a rookie quarterback to get out there and learn the terminology and command the huddle and see all of those looks that he should see in practices. Otherwise, if the first time the 49ers get on the practice field is during training camp, you know, obviously it'd be very difficult for there to be any kind of competition. So I think it's all of this kind of remains to be seen. Even the big question, who exactly will be that quarterback of the future?
And since we're going to be talking about this mystery man for so long, I'm all about nicknames. You guys have figured this out with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Gardner Minshew. We call him number three.
Number three?
Third overall pick. I don't know. That's not very good, but I know there are a lot of people out there that are more creative than me.
Yeah. QB3?
So let's come up with something for number three.
Okay, number three. Hey, one last thing I wanted to kind of surprise me. 49ers re-signed Mohamed Sanu. He appeared for the 49ers three games last year. The wide receiver, veteran wide receiver, was with Kyle Shanahan with the Falcons. So that little bit of a surprise, I think, that they brought him back, because he was only there for three games. They signed him in September. They cut him in October. But I guess he'll have a chance to make the team with Kendrick Bourne now with the New England Patriots. So, we'll see if that lasts. But Mohamed Sanu at age 31 coming back to the 49ers.
Our summary of the offseason so far: shock and confusion.
Is that a new name for the podcast?
That should be the title.
That should be.
I just came up with the title.
Yeah, you're the unsung glue of shock and confusion.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.